I just want to start with reading the passage for today. And John kindly accepted to read the passage for us today. I'm just going to invite him up. Thank you very much, John. We're going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. Luke 1:26.
Good morning. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his memory, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you. Great. So we are, if I'm not mistaken, this is the last one of the series, isn't it? The series of our foundation and of our faith. And today I will be talking about Advent, as is the most appropriate time of the year to talk about Advent, isn't it? Just want to ask you a question. Who has put up that Christmas tree already? Oh, well done. Oh, that's so many people, actually. It's more than I expected. I know people who've done it in the beginning of November. It's a little bit too early, but anyway, some people do it. Yeah, shame, shame. But some people do it. It's fine. Well, we love this time of the year, don't we? We just love it. Taryn, my wife, me and Ida, we just love this Christmas decorating. And it was nice because Ida was involved this year. So he just helped us with decorating the tree. And as you can see, she's busy doing some of these decorations. So the tree is a little bit bottom half kind of heavy, but but it looks amazing. And we really enjoyed our time together. Just, yes, enjoying putting up all these decorations. But I just want to start with just have a quick talk about what Advent means. And I usually go to dictionary just to find out what that word means. So I found out that it is coming from a Latin word adventus, which means coming or arrival. And it means arrival of a notable person or a thing. But most importantly, Advent is a season of expectation, preparation, and anticipation of coming of Christ for us as Christians. And it is the story of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56 actually gives us this profound glimpse into of this attitude and response to God's invitation for us to follow actually during the season. This passage tells us about Mary, a young woman visited by an angel called Gabriel, who brings this extraordinary news that she will give birth to Jesus. And he will be the savior of the whole world, actually, which is amazing. She was troubled at first, but her faith allows her to accept God's invitation. And he celebrated this with joy and humility, she. But there has been, as Duncan just mentioned, there's been this shift in our cultural kind of like worldview to Advent. So today world, Advent kind of like intersects with this notion of cultural Christianity that Duncan just mentioned. And it means basically that many people enjoy all the Christian traditions and they don't really believe in it. They just enjoy the festivity, they enjoy the gift giving, they enjoy the calendars. But deep inside, they don't have that faith of what Advent is basically all about. One of the prominent atheists, Richard Dawkins, says that I sort of I feel at home in the Christian ethos. I would not be happy if we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. He calls himself a cultural Christian. He's kind of like perching on on a tree and put an axe on it as well at the same time. So basically destroying the thing that he is enjoying the most and feeling at home basically. And this is quite common between all those people who are debating against Christianity outside. They had this this talk with this new this very young fellow called Alex O'Connor, who is a really brilliant man, and I really always pray for him because he's seeking the truth. So is Richard Dawkins. They're both seeking the truth, but their eyes are close to the reality, actually. So I always pray for them that they might see the truth one day. So yes, this is the cultural Christianity. And the next picture, if you have a look, so this is, if you go to the next slide. So this is my workplace. My colleagues brought this kind of pork scratchings advent calendar, which I found it quite funny. There's like lots of like little pork scratches in it. So every day you open one and just eat it. And so this is how our culture are dealing with the season, which is quite interesting. But having said that, I must mention that this cultural engagement can be and are and is a starting point for us to start this conversation, as you, Duncan, just mentioned. So this is the time when we invite people to come and learn about the truth behind all this Advent period, basically. And this is how people come and realize that all the theme of hope and love and joy that are all kind of like embedded in our lives, and life, because we are all created in the image of God. We are all created. God has put all this in our heart. So we can all recognize these things as we come and engage with this kind of like themes like hope, joy, and celebration that we have in the Advent. But I'm just going to quickly go and just chat about how did we get to this point where the angel of God visits Mary? And how did we get to Luke 1, verse 26? So I'm just going to start from very, very, very first page of the Bible, if you don't mind. And I promise you I will go quickly through the whole thing. I'm going to go through the whole Bible now, really. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God spoke and bang, everything created. Life, stars, oceans, trees, kittens, puppies, everything came into existence. And then his masterpiece, the human being. God made Adam and Eve and placed them in the most epic garden, Eden. And then they were in the God's presence. They were walking with God. They were enjoying God's company. And everything was perfect. But then the story took a turn. And Satan, ultimate troublemaker, showed up as a talking snake and convinced Eve to have a snack on one thing that God said don't eat. So Adam joined as well, and sin crushed the party. And as they were being shown to the exits of the garden, God gave them this glimpse of hope that one day a descendant of Eve will crush the serpent's head, though the serpent will strike his heel. This is Genesis 3, verses 15. This is the first glimpse of God's amazing plan for our salvation, that one day a savior would come to defeat sin and death. Generation later, God made a promise to Abraham, a man who probably didn't know that he's going to make a headline at 75, that through his family, the whole earth, the whole world will be blessed. And then his faith got into tests, basically. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And as he started doing it, God said, stop, I'm going to give you a ram. And you can sacrifice it instead of your son. And that was foreshadowing of the of how he would one day provide his own son as the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And then Adam's grandson Jacob had a wrestling match with God and walked away with a limb and a name Israel. And his 12 sons made basically the 12 tribes, but we're going to focus on Jacob. So poor Jacob couldn't catch a break. So he had these fancy dreams, and his brothers weren't happy about it. So he was sold to Egypt. But God used this unfortunate circumstances in Jacob's life for good. And that made and what happened was that Jacob basically saved hundreds and hundreds of Israelites from famine at the time. And then it was Moses. So God asked Moses to instruct the Israelites out of Egypt. And then Pharaoh obviously didn't let them go. And plagues after plagues came through Moses from God. But the last one was the most important one, which was the death of every firstborn, when God himself passes through Passovers, the houses, and ask Israelites to sacrifice a spotless lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. So when he's passing through, over, they will be saved. And that lamb was a preview of Jesus, the Lamb of God, whose blood would one day save everyone who trusted him. And after that, there was law, lots of laws that God instructed Moses and Israelites with. And there were many sacrifices. So every goat, lamb, dove offered on the altar was a reminder that sin had a cost. But none of them could really fix the problem. They were like putting bandage on a broken bone, basically. What humanity needed was their sacrifice, which was Jesus, and he's Jesus. And then there were processes and clues that God, through the centuries, dropped hints about coming of Messiah, coming the Savior, and how his plan is going to come into completion. So Isaiah prophesied that he'd be pierced for our transgressions. Micah nailed the location of his birth, Bethlehem. And Zechariah mentioned that he would ride into town on a donkey. There were so many other prophecies. There are hundreds of them. Like virgin birth, lineage of David, birthplace, as I mentioned, savior of all nations, childbirth as a king, and so on. I can just name. We don't have time. I can name like hundreds of them. But the long wait ends in Bethlehem, as we just read today. Finally, after centuries of waiting, God sent an angel to a girl named Mary. And the angel told her that she'd have a baby who's going to be the Son of Man. And Mary was understandably shocked and said, "Well, I'm in. Let it be as you say." And then the impossible happened. And we just got to the point that we just started to read today. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "Nothing is impossible with God." So Luke is the writer of this gospel, the Gospel of Luke. And he ties this story to ancient promises that we already sort of covered, that the virgin's son would one day rule forever, and he will sit on David's throne. It is not something that any human being could do. It can only be miracle. And miracles are God's speciality. Now, Mary obviously was overwhelmed with the whole thing. But Gabriel assured her that it's going to be fine. The Lord is with you. He explained that her baby would call Jesus, which means God, Lord, the Lord saves. And the baby was fulfillment of God's promises to Eve. We just discussed it earlier. That the salvation would come from through a woman's child. And then Gabriel just continued to explain that how it would happen. The Holy Spirit would come on you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. So now, look, the writer wants us to see something bigger here. That God's power is not held back by human limitations, basically. If God gives us, God gives the baby to Elizabeth and Zechariah, as Duncan just mentioned, in their old age, it's just like a piece of cake for him to give baby to a virgin, basically. The same God who spoke universe into existence was now bringing salvation into the world. And Mary believed that. Mary believed that. She didn't stuck on the risk of what Joseph might think, what my neighbor might think, what my friends might think. He knew that nothing is impossible with God. And response was simply that I'm the Lord's servant, or bound servant, or I'm the Lord's slave in actual translation. May your word to be fulfilled. Now it is important to talk about why Mary being a virgin is important, because it talks about it quite a lot here in this passage that it's coming from a virgin, coming from the virgin. So I would like to discuss this and expand this a little bit more. So as we said, Advent means the arrival of a notable person. And in this season, we celebrate the arrival of not just a person, but Jesus, the Son of God, who was from a seed of a woman and the Holy Spirit, as we see in Genesis, how God talks to Eve, how God gives the promise to Eve. So no man is involved. That's why the virgin birth is so important. It reveals God's faithfulness, his miraculous power, and his plan to bring salvation through his Son. So as we celebrate Advent, the virgin birth reminds us of the hope, joy, and peace that comes from knowing that God steps into this history in this very extraordinary way. So just imagine, how would you plan this if it was in your hand? How would you plan it? Would you have even thought about birth from a virgin? It's just such an extraordinary thing, isn't it? So this is how we can reflect in this season about as you're anticipating for the coming of Christ. So it reminds of this virgin birth basically reminds us of prophetic fulfillment, which we already covered. It affirms Jesus' divine nature. So it shows that Jesus is not merely a great teacher or prophet, as some other faiths and religions would say, or some people believe, but he is God incarnate. Jesus is not the product of human will or effort, but it's direct intervention of God. He's fully divine, representing God's holiness and authority. And also it validates Jesus' ability to save humanity. So as only God himself can defeat death and sin. The second one, or is it the third? The third one. The virgin birth breaks the chain of inherited sin that passes through human generation. So we're conceiving through the Holy Spirit. Basically, Jesus was free from that original sin that I just earlier talked about, making him the spotless lamb that necessary for atoning for our sins. The next point is the virgin birth highlights that salvation is entirely God's work, not dependent on human effort. So it was a miraculous act. This conception of Mary's conception was a miraculous act that points to the God's grace for us rather than human ability. And it shows that salvation is a gift from God. And it's all is rooted to his love and power. And encourages us to be a bit humility in us. It encourages humility in us and trust and put our trust in God's ability that works beyond human understanding. Also, it is important to see, and this is one of my main points as well, that how can we follow Mary's example in this passage? Because Mary left us this amazing example of how to deal with this. But before I expand on that bit a little bit, I just want to say, sometimes we read all these things and it seems obvious for us when we talk about virgin birth, when we talk about even healing power, when we talk about God's kingdom, eternity, just when I just say all these words. It seems so obvious for us. We read them, we pray for them. But deep inside, do we really believe in what we read and what we pray about? Because it's also important. We see that Mary heard this from the angel of God, and he believed. And that is a very huge step, the first step to believe. I have to just confess that sometimes I just read and pray, and deep inside I might doubt, but I would like to, at the end, at the time of ministry, to pray for us as a body of church that we may believe what we read here, because this is the reality, this is the truth that it says here. And I encourage everyone to respond to this. If you feel that, okay, this is you, I'd like to encourage you to respond. You don't have to put your hand up, obviously, but deep in your heart, just search for that unbelief. And we pray together. Now, how can we follow Mary's example in this passage? As I just said, the first one is faith in God's plan. So Luke verse 1, chapter 1, verse 37 says, from no word from God will ever fail. So despite her question that how will this be, she ultimately responded with trust. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to be fulfilled. And this is challenging us to trust God's promises in this season. Sometimes his plan seems to be impossible, but we know that nothing with God is impossible. So I just pray that we put our trust in God, in his plans, and just step forward with faith. The second one is obedience to God's call. Luke 1 verses 45 says, Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So Elizabeth, filled with Holy Spirit, confirms Mary's faith and obedience and declaring her blessed. This affirmation basically reassures Mary and strengthens her faith. It says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. So this obedience requires courage as well sometimes, and immediate action. So Mary basically went to Elizabeth. I don't have it in my points, but this realignment is also important because Mary believed God and went to Elizabeth. So if you want to see, for example, if you want to explore this in our circumstances, if we hear from God, if we have some sort of prophecy over us from someone, if we think that God is speaking to us, it is good to share this with other believers. Go speak to them. We pray together, have fellowship together. And God might speak through other person to you as well to confirm, to reassure you, like how it happened with Elizabeth and Mary. So Elizabeth reassured Mary that you are blessed, that this is what God is done for you, and you are blessed. The third one is joy in God's promise. So the last song of Mary is all about joy that she has in her circumstances. So she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So her joy is not based on her circumstances, because I'm sure you know that at that culture, being pregnant whilst you are not even married yet, is a big deal, you know. And she wasn't concerned about that because her joy was in God's promise. Her thoughts and her mind was, I am the servant of the Lord. Your will be done in my life, whatever it is. I'm going to trust you in whatever it is, because I know that anything with you is possible, and I want to put my trust in you. Doesn't matter what Joseph thinks, doesn't matter what my neighbor thinks, it doesn't matter what my circumstances are, my culture is. I'm going to step in faith, in truth, in what is right, what God wants me to do. Now, I just wanted to close. I just want to go through what we just talked about. We talked about that Advent is reduced to this cultural kind of like ritual nowadays, marked with Advent calendar, chocolates, gifts, and holiday cheer. And nothing is bad about these traditions and about enjoying all the season, as long as it's not overshadowing of its deeper meaning and what it is all about. And we are invited to reclaim this spiritual message at this season, really, among all this cultural noise. and using every opportunity to share the gospel with people. That's why we are doing all these outreach programs. That's why we are doing carol service, because we want to use this opportunity to reach to the culture that might not know the deep meaning behind all this season. We just want to share with them that what is all this about, why we are celebrating this anticipation, why we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's not about the Christmas tree or the gifts. It's not about the holiday or chocolate. It has such more deeper meaning. And we just want to share this with everyone. And Mary's story today is a timeless guide for us to engage in this season, basically. So her faith challenges us to trust God, and her reaction to this message reflects her surrounding to God. And her Magnificat shows her celebration of God's mercy, justice, and faithfulness. Her joy is grounded in God's character. And this is very, very, very much relevant to us these days, because we are in the culture that is talking differently, that is walking other way. And we are should be encouraged by reading this chapter, that what we are experiencing in our culture today is quite similar to Mary's. So what we are doing as Christians has to be effective and shows God's faithfulness. And the passage shows that everything for God is possible. And shows that God's grace and salvation is entirely, the grace and salvation is entirely God's work, nothing to do with human being. So as we prepare our hearts this Advent, let us embrace the timeless truth of Mary's story and reflect on how they applied today. May we echo Mary's words with renewed purpose that I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And may this Advent season be a time for all of us to deepen our faith, walk in obedience, and rejoice in the hope, love, and salvation brought through Christ. Can I invite everyone to stand, please? And can I invite the band to come up? I'm just going to quickly pray about what we have deep inside, if we have any unbelief. I just want to just reflect on that. And then, if that's okay, I'd like to invite Duncan to come up and lead the time of ministry. Let's pray together. Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this season, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that as we are waiting, as we are celebrating this season of hope, joy, and anticipation, Lord, you reminded us of Mary's faith in this passage, Lord. You reminded us of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your justice, Lord. Thank you that you reminded us, Lord, that you have planned it all. You have fulfilled everything in Jesus. You have planned everything through the history for our salvation, Lord, for the love that you have for us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for everyone who reads these things and pray for these things and meditate on these things, but not deep inside, 100% believe or totally believe, I just pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds, Lord, to your truth. I just pray that you take away all the things that are stopping us to believe. If we think that we don't worth it, if we think that, oh, well, we have done, we sinned and we might not be forgiven, or you don't believe in what Jesus has done for you on the cross, and your sins are forgiven, and you are free, and you are clean, and you are whole, you hear these things, but if you don't believe in them, I just pray that God may touch your heart in a way, in a powerful way, that you may understand all this truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, what you have done for us, Lord. Thank you for this amazing season. Thank you that you stepped in this world, humbled yourself. You that you were equal to God, Lord. You came and humbled yourself, and you punished for our sin. Thank you that you are the spotless Lamb.